Hey everyone, my name is Jules, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We are so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text The River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support The River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you are blessed by today's message.
Well, good morning, church. I'm back. All right, it's good to be here. Again, my name is Noble, and Connections Pastor here, and just truly grateful to gather together and open up God's Word. And a couple weeks ago, we talked about this Sunday. This is an exciting Sunday as we are going through the book of Romans, and today we will be in Romans chapter 13, talking about submission to authority, talking about our governmental authority that has been established by the Lord today. And so leading up to that, probably about a couple months ago, all of our location pastors went out and they invited all local government. We even sent a letter to President Trump. We sent a letter to the governor. And so, I mean, we covered everything, seriously, inviting them to all of our gatherings. And so today, across all nine locations, we have local governing authorities who are attending all of our gatherings. And so we're super grateful that they accepted our invite. And here this morning in Holly, we have seven who are with us. And so we're super excited. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read off their names. I'm going to read their position here in the Oakland County area. And then they're going to go ahead and stand up and we're going to applaud them. And we're going to applaud them, thanking them for what they are doing for us, taking on that position to take care of our county. And then once they are all standing, we're going to pray for them together as a church. And so the first one we have is our Holly trustee, Ryan Mattson. So grateful to have Ryan and his wife with us. Next, we have our Holly Village president, April Brandon. We have our Holly council member, Buster Weinbrenner. We have our Springfield Council member, Lori Beatty. We have our Springfield Council member, Sean Miller. We have Oakland County Commissioner, Charlie Cavell. And we also have our Oakland County Captain, Todd Hill. Oh, man, we are truly so privileged to have you with us. Hey, church, would you stand, please? And I just want to stand in unity with our local leaders, our local government, and we're going to pray for them, intentionally pray for them, because that is the call from God's word, for us to honor them, to respect them, and to pray for them. And that's what we're going to get into this morning. So let's go ahead and pray. So God, we come before you. Father, we thank you for what a privilege it is to come to this place to worship the name of Jesus. We thank you for sending your son to die on a cross for our sins. And through his glorious resurrection, we have life. And Father, I thank you so much for every single government official that is here this morning, Lord. I thank you. I thank you for Ryan. I thank you for April. I thank you for Buster. I thank you for Lori. I thank you for Sean. I thank you for Charlie. And I thank you for Todd, Father. I thank you for their sacrifice for our county, Lord. I thank you for what they do on a daily and weekly basis here for us as a people. And God, I ask that you would be with them. Father, I ask that they would experience your peace unlike they ever have. Father God, I ask that they would look to you for guidance. I ask that they would look to you for leading, Lord, as they lead humbly, as they lead rightly in obedience to the law, Lord, and that they would be obedient to you as well. Father, I thank you for their sacrifice. I thank you for the sacrifice of their families, God. And I ask that you would continue to watch over them always, protect them, Father, and we're just so privileged to have them here with us this morning. God, we love you and praise you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll go ahead and grab a seat. Oh, well, it is so good to be with you this morning, church. You know, several years ago, Pastor Caleb and I, we got together, and we used to have these massive heavy preaching tables, and as we had more locations that came and were adopted, they had random preaching tables all over. And so we were like, man, we need like a single preaching table that's light, that's easy to carry, easy to transport. And so we found these, we searched far and wide, and I found these on Amazon. And it's like the perfect wooden top. And so I called up my buddy Mike and Rich Mosier, and we were like, hey, can we go ahead and get some CNC work on them? And so what happens is on the top of all of our preaching tables, it says 2 Timothy 4:2. And it says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. And I just love that reminder that this table is. But what's going to happen is that I'm going to have to etch something into this. And it says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, and 12 hours before the gathering, because Pastor Caleb is stuck in Florida due to government shutdown with the FAA affecting it. So that is why I am here with you this morning, and it is a privilege. Yes, Pastor Caleb wishes he could be here. He sent me a picture. He's sitting in the airport. His plane got delayed again. He called me last night. He was like, dude, I can't get anywhere. And so we were just laughing. It's pretty good. As we're talking about government authority, here we are, the government shutdown. It's okay, because guess what? God is in control. God is in control, and I'm just grateful that I get to open up God's word with you this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, we are going to be in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, we're going to begin in verse 1, and we're just going to go through this morning and just open up and see what God has for us. And so we begin there. Paul writes in Romans 13, verse 1, he says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. And so Paul begins this passage by declaring who his audience is. He says, let every person, you see, here there's no exceptions. All right, there's no exceptions. Paul is speaking to both followers of Christ and those who have not followed Jesus. They have not made the declaration that Jesus is their Lord and Savior. And so really, when we boil it down to looking at our world, those are the two categories of our world. There are those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, who have confessed him the Lord of their life, who have confessed their sins, who say, God, there is nothing good in me, and I thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. I believe in you. I believe in the resurrection, and I want you to be Lord of my life. And then there's the other part of our world that is lost, that is hurting, that is broken, and they have not come to a place where they see and understand the need for the Lord in their life. And so these are the two eternally defining factors in our world: those who are saved, those who are not saved. And Paul is talking to who? Every person. You see, it's amazing, as we go throughout Scripture, there are several passages of Scripture where we see a similar phrase, where every person is the audience. Earlier this summer, we read in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Again, all, every person has sinned and falls short of the glory of God. The classic John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Again, we see here that it is a reference to the world. Every single person. God so loved our world. God so loves every single person in this world that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. And all we have to simply do, as Romans 10:9 tells us, is that we must confess and believe in our hearts that Jesus died and rose again. Another verse that I love so much in Philippians 2, 9 through 11 says, "Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." You see, there is no exception on that glorious day. We will all bow and confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And so I go through those three quick passages, and we would all agree that those three passages are pointed to every single person in our world. That is the audience of those three passages, is every person. There's no exception. However, this morning, we begin here in Romans 13 talking about submission to government authority, and we read, "Let every person," and there have been many times in our lives, there's been times in my life where I'm like, well, I think there's an exception to this passage. I don't think that Paul really meant every person. I don't think the Lord is calling every one of us to do this. Amen that we're all sinners. Amen that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Amen that one day we will bow a knee and confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord. I don't know if we want to submit to government authority. No, this morning we must. Every person is called to be subject to governing authorities. And so what does this word subject mean? It means to place oneself under the authority of another and recognize their position, having respect for that position. So why? Why are we as followers of Christ called to submit, to subject to the governing authorities around us? Well, as we read there in the second half of verse 1, it says, "There is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God." They have been instituted by God. And we're so privileged to have just 7 here with us this morning. And guess what? Every single one of them have been put in place because of our Heavenly Father. He has put every single one of them in place. He has put every single one of you in place. And I'm grateful that he has. So we've established the audience. The audience of this passage this morning is everyone. It is our entire world, those who believe in Jesus as their Savior and those who do not. We have established who has put that authority, who has instituted our governing authorities, both local and across the entire world. Every single authority, governing authority put in place has been instituted by our Heavenly Father. And now if we go into Romans 13, verse 2, Paul gives us a warning. Paul gives us a warning. He says, "Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment." And so understanding that every single governing authority that has been put in place has been put in place because of the work of our Heavenly Father, there is this call to obedience, and there is also a stern warning that if we decide to resist what the Lord has appointed, we will incur judgment. Now, I want to take an important pause. Now, there is one caveat to this call of obedience to our governing authorities, and that is whenever our governing authorities call us to do anything that violates the command of the Lord. So what do I mean by this? We go to Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John are proclaiming the gospel. They are sharing the good news. They are not being aggressive. They are not agitating. They are not being combative. They are simply proclaiming what we read in 1 Corinthians 15, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who they had walked with and they had seen with their own eyes. And so beginning in Acts chapter 4, verse 19, but Peter and John answered the Sadducees and the teachers of the law, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. And so what is happening here is Peter and John are telling the governing authorities, as they are telling them that they must stop preaching the word of God, that they must stop proclaiming the gospel. They said, we cannot and we will not stop preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We go back to the Old Testament in Daniel chapter 3, beginning in verse 15 through 18, we have King Nebuchadnezzar. Beginning in verse 15, we read, now if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, the bagpipe, which I had no idea bagpipes are that old, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall be immediately be cast into the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Again, we have Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and they're declaring to King Nebuchadnezzar that they will not worship any other god but the true sovereign creator of our world, our heavenly Father. And so these are just two instances, right, where we see the Christian's call, the follower of Christ's call, it's a duty not to obey governing authority for what they are calling the people to do. Now, this is a very fine line. This is a very fine line, and we're going to get into it here in a little bit. But I want you to know that there are very clear things in Scripture that we have a duty to obey. And there are very clear things that are not in Scripture that our country, that our local government has put in place to regulate law and order, which we must obey. So what are some of those things that are not in God's word, but we do see in our world that we are called to obey as God has instituted these governing authorities for us? Well, here's the first one, I-75. Captain Todd, you know what I'm gonna go with, right? 70 miles an hour. Today, you may have done it. Maybe. I doubt it, though, because some of you, I know you can't make 10:30. <laughs> 70 miles an hour is the speed limit. You go 71, 72, 73, 90, 100. Guess what? You're breaking the law. There are ramifications for that because you are disobedient to the governing authority and the laws they have instituted. So yeah, you're gonna get a ticket. That's how it works. Our taxes. We are called to pay our taxes to the governing authority so that everything continues to work as it is supposed to. And guess what? You decide not to pay your taxes, there's a fine, okay? There are some other things in God's word. You know, I mean, here's the deal, right? We're in Michigan. U-turns, all right? U-turns. You decide not to read it right, okay? You go to a red light and it says, stop at the red light. But you're like, ah, no one's going to be here. I can turn right. No, guess what? You're breaking the law. You get a ticket because you're being disobedient. There are some things in God's word that also lines up with our governing authorities as well. Murder. Theft. Fraud. Okay, these are things that are very clear in God's word that we as followers of Christ not only are called to obey, but as 2 Corinthians 5 tells us, we are called to be ambassadors of Christ. And so guess what? In that purview of the lanes of authority that we are called to be obedient to God's word and be obedient to the law of the land, you should be an example. We are called as followers of Christ to be an example to those who do not know the Lord, who have not accepted the Lord as their Savior. And so my first point this morning is, as followers of Christ, we are called to submission to the governing authorities, all of which have been established by the Lord. As followers of Christ, we have been called to submission to governing authorities because he has instituted each and every one of them, local, country, globally. We continue on in verses 3 and 4, and Paul now takes a little step, and he's going to outline the roles of our governing authorities. He now takes the time to share with them what their call is as they've been instituted in this position by the Lord. Paul starts out in verse 3 and he says, "For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is an authority? Then do what is good and you will receive his approval. For he," referring to the governing authority, "is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on wrongdoing." And so what does this mean? What does this mean in talking about governing authorities' role in relation to the Lord? They are God's servant. Paul makes it very clear in verse 4, "For he is God's servant for your good." And so, yes, our governing authorities are truly put in place by the Lord to be his servant. To what? To protect, to lead, and take care of the people, to take care of the county they are in charge in, to take care of the state they are in charge in, to take care of the country that they have been put in position over, to take care and guard. You know, imagine, and there's tons of movies out there, right? Like, you can always find, like, an end-of-the-world movie. You can find a movie where it's just, like, total chaos, right? That's like a very niche market in Hollywood. They love those chaotic, crazy movies. Man, I remember one, like, back when I was a kid, like, Waterworld? I mean, like, the whole world floods, but, like, which is crazy in and of itself. But, like, I'm pretty sure, like, the world goes into chaos, okay? In Judges 17, we're going to go back. In Judges 17, verse 6, "In those days, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes." This is what happens when we don't have any governing authorities. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Can you imagine if all of a sudden, on Twitter, social media, the news, I doubt it would be in the newspaper. I don't know if we still get those or not. I'm not sure. All of a sudden it said, "Hey, no governing authorities. Everyone do what's right in your own eyes." Anyone in here signing up for that? No way. It's utter chaos. It would be a catastrophe. There would be, it would, immorality would be a plague everywhere. Sin rampant, everyone just doing what they want, when they want, where they want. It would be utter chaos. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live in that kind of a world. And that is why the Lord has established our governing authorities in power over us, right, if you will. Because they are there to keep the law and order. They are there to protect us. They are there as God's servants to make sure that we don't find ourselves in a place where what? Where everyone is doing what is right in their own eyes. I thank God that we don't live in the Old Testament times. We are so privileged to live here in America. We are so privileged to live here in Holly, where guess what? We got up on the stage this morning and we declared glory to the Lord, where we sang boldly the name of Jesus, where we came out here and we prayed for all of our governing authorities here this morning, where I am here able to open up God's word and declare his truths to you without any fear of anyone coming up here and trying to stop us and tell us that we can't do that. Those are the privileges we have in this country. Our governing authority is here to be God's servant, to do good. But there is a caveat, right? It says the rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. They are a terror to the bad because they are called to uphold the law of the land. They are called to uphold, but then they are called to also execute punishment for those that break the law, for those do not follow what has been established. And so, again, going back to us as followers of Christ being submission to governing authority, this is not something that we should be afraid of. As followers of Jesus Christ, we ought to obey the Lord's commands. We ought to do good. We are called as followers of Jesus Christ to be an example of Jesus Christ to our world. And so if we are truly walking in step with the Spirit, if we are truly obedient to the Spirit's leading in our lives, then guess what? Why are you afraid? We shouldn't be, because we're being obedient to the laws that have been placed before us. Yes, there is going to be that caveat of if they're telling us to stop preaching the word of God, if they tell us to worship any other God but our Heavenly Father, if they want us to commit any immoral acts or violate any of the Lord's laws. Outside of that clear definition in God's word, we ought to be obedient, and we ought to be an example of that obedience. So we understand our audience. We understand our call as followers of Christ to submit to governing authorities. And here in verses 3 and 4, this brings us to our second point, that our governing officials are called to be God's servants who are in place for our good, and they're there to serve and protect us, every single one of them. That's why they are established. It's very easy for us in this country to be vocal. We have the privilege of freedom of speech. We have the privilege of free will to say what we want, to think what we want. It's amazing, as Paul is writing about submission to authority, if we truly take a step back and just try to remember what is going on in Paul's life right now. Paul doesn't have a luxurious relationship with the governing authority there in Rome. We really take a step back to how government was during the time of Paul. Okay, we look back to the time of Peter and John, what they were living in, right? The Romans were in charge. Everything they said and did was final. You stepped out of line, they didn't like what you did, boom. They're right. Doesn't matter what you think. Doesn't matter what you say. Here, Paul is claiming his Roman citizenship so that he has an opportunity to speak. He's just saying, hey, this is the one thing that I can hold on to and share, right? He's claiming his Roman citizenship, and now he is sharing and teaching and preaching these things. But Paul did not have luxury with his local government as we do here in 2025. I think we need to remember Paul's heart, that as he is experiencing so much hardship, as he's experiencing persecution, yet he is still submitting out of reverence and obedience to the Lord. But there are times where we find ourselves as Christians and we're just humming and hawing, where we're mad and we're kicking the ground and we're going to send out an angry tweet. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know if people tweet anymore. I just feel like that was a thing for so long. All right, you put out an angry post. What does that do? What does that do except for show that you're not being a good example of a follower of Christ? Because that's what Paul is calling us here. I love you, church. But we are called to submit. And here in the last few verses, we are going to read how we are called to respect and we are called to honor every single one of our governing authorities. In verse 5, Paul continues. He says, therefore, one must be subject not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Revenue to whom revenue is owed. Respect to whom respect is owed. And honor to whom honor is owed. And so my final point this morning for us as a church, for us as followers of Christ, is a godly obedience. We are called to have a godly obedience to our Heavenly Father, and through that, a godly obedience and submission to those who He has instituted in governing authority. Yes, there are very clear things, and we as a church have been outspoken about some of those things, such as abortion. That is followers of Christ, that goes against God's word. That is a very clear area that we are like, nope, that goes against God's word. We will not stand on that. We will not support that because we believe in the sanctity of life. And we believe that God has ordained each and every life at conception. And again, outside of a purview of disobeying God's commands, what are we called to do as followers of Christ? We are to show respect and honor to every single one of them. Every single one of them. I love how Paul points back to Matthew 22. He points back to Matthew 22, verses 17 through 21, where we have the teachers of the law, and they are coming to Jesus as they often do. They always come and try to trip him up and try to get him to slip and not be able to answer a question, which I have no idea what they were thinking. That, like, oh, we're really going to slip up Jesus this time. This is going to be a real humdinger. Nope. So they come to Jesus and they say, tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And Jesus, aware of their malice, said, why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax. And they brought their denarius. And Jesus said to them, whose likeness and inscription is on this? They said, Caesar. He said to them, therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Our Savior has called us to an obedience, first and foremost, to our Heavenly Father. And because of our obedience to our Heavenly Father, there is a submission to our governing authorities. Jesus preached this. Jesus declared this. Paul is reiterating the words of the Lord for us. And I love how he intentionally, I truly think it's intentional as Paul ends verse 7, how he ends with respect and honor. calls us to respect them and to honor them. And that was our goal this morning as a church, to bring them out, to let them know that we are so thankful. Thankful for every single one of you, for the position that you have taken on, for the position that you have taken on to lead our county, to lead our city, to protect. It is a high calling. And us as followers of Christ, as a church, I hope that afterwards you will go up to them intentionally and thank them. I hope that you will go up to them, introduce yourself, and just thank them for stepping into that position. But also, I'm going to give us a challenge. In 1 Timothy 2, beginning in verse 1, Paul writes, he says, "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way." You see, as followers of Christ, we are called to pray for our governing authorities. We are called to lift them up in prayer to the Lord, asking for peace in their lives, for protection for them and their families, for discernment and leading that only can come from our Heavenly Father. The Lord has established and instituted every single position, from president all the way down. And every single one of those positions is meant to be filled with one of God's servants for our good and to serve us, to take care of the people, to provide that law and order. But you know what's amazing with an understanding that chain of command that the Lord has instituted is that we forget that our entire world is filled with broken sinners. Every single one of us is broken. Every single one of us is a sinner. There's not one person here this morning that's perfect. Not one. Every single one of us, we mess up daily. Even those of us, right, who have called upon the name of the Lord, we still sin. We still break his commands. We still mess up every single day. And yes, we do have some in governing authority, right? From the president all the way down. You look at that entire list, I couldn't even tell you all the list, all right? But there's so many positions in our governing authority, right? And we do have some brothers and sisters in Christ in those areas who fill those areas. But we also have those who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so guess what? They do to the best of their ability to make the right decision. But we need to remember that they're also sinners who are filling that seat and doing their best to help protect and lead and take care of us as a people. And so what does that look like for us as a church? First and foremost, remember that submission to governing authority is being obedient to what the Lord has instituted. Remember that. As a follower of Christ, we must submit because God has placed them there. If we choose to be disobedient to them, you're being disobedient to what the Lord has established. Yes, there is the caveat of the Lord's commands. We must always be weary. We must always be faithful to the commands of God's word. If we ever see, if we're ever called to do anything that is outlined, that is outside of this book, that is outside of his commands, yes, it's our duty and obligation Just as it was for Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Just as it was for Peter and John. Right? They said, no, I'm sorry. I love you, but I'm not going to do that. Because the Lord has called me. And the Lord has commanded that we preach his word and that we only worship him. Right? But I want to call us ultimately to a godly obedience. That we as followers of Christ would live this out every single day when it comes to our governing authorities. That maybe before you say some words against another governing authority, that we take a pause. That we remember that they were created by our Heavenly Father. That they were put in place by our Heavenly Father. Remember that they are a broken sinner, just like you and me. And sure, might be some policies you don't like. Taxes might be raised. Maybe the construction's gone on too long. But in that moment of frustration, instead of letting our anger take hold of us, instead of letting our annoyance take hold of us and lead into disobedience against our Heavenly Father, I want you to do what Paul calls us to do here in 2 Timothy 2. Stop and pray. First and foremost, pray for your own heart. Say, God, just help me realign with you, Lord. Help take this anger away from me. But also, I pray for that person specifically who I didn't like their policy. Or man, I didn't vote for them, but they got in. Pray for them. Man, if they don't know the Lord, what are we called to do, church? We are called to pray for their salvation. We're called to pray that they would submit to the Spirit, that they would come to a relationship, that they would come to confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we no longer look at them as a political card or we look at them in anger, but we can see them as a brother and sister in Christ, because that is our goal. That is our call. And so this morning, I just want to encourage you, church, that it's not an easy passage. It's not an easy thing just to do and say, but it is something that we daily have to work at. And I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you with the words of Paul. I want to encourage you to respect and to honor those positions. But more than anything, I want to call you to pray for them. Pray for them on a daily basis. That the Lord would lead them, that the Lord would guide them. That he would mold their hearts to be the servant of his that they have been put in place to be for our good. In a few moments after this song, we get to celebrate that life change that we have all experienced through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus as we celebrate a couple coming forward and they're going to get baptized. Get to see that step of obedience. And so this morning, I just want to encourage you, church. I want to encourage us that we would be obedient to God's word. That we remember that the Lord has instituted every single person in governing authority over us. That they are called to be God's servant for our good. And that we as followers of Christ ought to be the example of submission. We ought to be the example of godly obedience every single day of our lives. And I want to challenge you just this week. Pray for every single official who's come here this morning to be with us. Pray for every single one of them. Introduce yourself. Let them know that you're praying with them, praying for them. And I want to challenge you, next time you get frustrated politically, get frustrated because, man, maybe your policy didn't go through or your candidate didn't get voted for, pray for the one that the Lord instituted. Because there's not one person that's ever been in governing authority, and there will never be a person who's in governing authority that the Lord did not put in place, because he is sovereign and he is in control. Will you pray with me, church? God, we come before you. God, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for the privilege it is to just come before your throne, Father. God, I hope that my words would illuminate a desire in our hearts, Lord, to be obedient to your scriptures, God. God, would you do a work in my heart for that obedience? God, I thank you for every single governing authority that you have put in place. I thank you for them all. Lord, I ask that you would watch over them. You would protect them. That you would lead them, Father. For those that do not know you, Lord, that your spirit would move in their lives, that you would place those in their lives around them that would show them your love, that would be the hands and feet of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, that they would come to a place of submission to you, Father, that they would declare Jesus Christ their Savior, that they would seek the forgiveness for their sins, and that they would stand boldly on the name of Jesus. And for those who are in governing authority, Lord, who have accepted you, who do know you, would you strengthen them through every single day? God, would you do a work in our hearts that we would submit, out of obedience to you, Father, that you would give us discernment to cling to your word and your commands, that your spirit would lead, if anything is leading us away from what your word says, that we would put our feelings aside, that we would not be subjective, but we would objectively look at your word, and that we would be obedient in honoring and respecting our governing authorities every single day. God, I do thank you for our local leaders who you've brought here this morning. God, I ask that you would continue to watch over them, that you would encourage them, Father, that they would feel your love and your leading as they take up this position as your servant to lead and protect and serve this county and this place, Father. I thank you for them. I ask that you would bless them, that you would protect them every single day. God, we love you, we praise you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.